Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
You know, one of the biggest challenges any generation faces is how to transfer knowledge, wisdom, culture, and values to the next generation, but do so with humility. We can't be condescending, and we must be willing and open to learning ourselves because they have things to teach us. Unfortunately, the baby boomers and Gen X have not done a great job with this. We've seen triumphs and the emergence of the American empire. It wasn't an empire when I was born, but we've learned and earned the respect of those coming after us. Have we? I'm not so sure. Or have we been exposed as hypocrites and frauds? Sadly, it's a mixed bag, a little of both. To explore this topic, I'm joined by Christian Hodges. I've known him for a good time here. I mean, he's a young man. He's an influencer with a growing following. He's also someone willing to learn, but willing to teach. And he's got a lot to share with us. Christian, tell us your story. How did you get here?
Kevin, well, thanks for having me here. It's good to finally be back in Texas. But honestly, on paper, it looks as if I wrote a book when I was 17, did pretty well. Within a month of it being out, the president had a copy at dinner. Did well, threw me onto Fox and Newsmax and all these shows, made me a voice for the generation. But like I was just telling you backstage, I said 3 years ago in January, before I wrote the book, I spent 9 days in the hospital. And of the 9 days, I spent a week in a coma while I was supposed to be on my first mission trip to Jamaica. I thought the Lord was going to use me on the mission field, and he had a couple other plans. And there's one thing I remember from the 9 days in the hospital, and that's waking up from being unconscious. I remember waking up at midnight. There's a basketball game on TV. It's like Gonzaga versus UNC Chapel Hill, a big rivalry. And at that point, there's one thought in my mind. Where's my Bible? I have it in my room here. It's one of those big ESV thick study Bibles, if you know what I'm talking about. Like all of high school, I was known as like the spiritual leader who would carry it around everywhere. I was known by it. And I was like, where is it? As my brain is fried after being out for a week in a coma. So I remember ripping the IV out of my arm and getting out of the hospital bed at midnight. My mom's on a futon. My dad's in a recliner. I hobbled across the room, found my Bible on the windowsill, got back to my bed huffing and puffing after being out for so long. I remember flipping open to a random page, and I couldn't tell you where that was, Kevin, but I tried to read the words on the page, but once again, my brain was fried. I say that literally because my fever hit 109.
109? You were 7 days in a coma.
109.
This is a very serious disease. This is viral encephalitis.
Viral encephalitis, which is the swelling and inflammation of your brain. So they call it, like, your brain is on fire. That's what they say it is. But I remember opening, just trying to read the words, and I couldn't focus on it. At that point, I remember crying out the only two words I could find the strength to mutter. And I cried out, I surrender. And what do you know? After 7 days in a coma, after every test you can imagine, an EKG, an EEG, two spinal taps, a CAT scan, an MRI, 50 blood work tests, trying to figure out what I have. They don't even know what I have at this point. They don't know what put me in a coma for a week. They don't know anything that happened. All they know is that I prayed, I surrender, and 24 hours later, I'm not only released from the hospital, but I'm literally running laps around the floor of the hospital, running, sprinting away from the doctor, saying, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. And that's all they know is that I'm fine.
That's a miracle.
So someone just asked me the other day, what's like your official job title? And I said, I'll happily take walking miracle, because that's what I am. I should be dead, Kevin.
But the only way to get there is I surrender.
Right.
Is to let God live through you instead of you living through you.
Right. I think if we look at Ephesians 2, if we look at what Paul says in Ephesians 2, the first 10 verses I want to focus on, the first three verses, Paul is talking about how we're spiritually unconscious, if you will, if you play off my story, how we're dead without Christ. We're wretched sinners, total depravity as human beings, original sin. And then he starts the actual hope of it by saying in verse 4, it's the greatest interjection of all time, I would say. It's but God, comma. But God what? What comes after the comma? Yeah. It says, but God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he has for us, made us alive together with Christ. For it is by grace that you have been saved. This is not of your own doing, that no man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, in which he prepared in advance. And he already knew the story. He knew the day I was born on June 30th, 2005, that I would go through that. And he used that point as the catalyst in my life, I would say. I call it, I was called out of a coma. I was called to be a voice for the generation called to lead the revival that we see coming to young people today, to be a voice leading that, that my voice would be his vessel.
No different than Lazarus come forth.
Right.
It was Christian come forth. You were in the coma, and so many things that can be brought to truth out of that. For one, when you're a coma, you're completely helpless. And apart from Christ, we are completely helpless. And until you acknowledge that, and you were raised a Christian, you are a Christian. You've been a Christian before your coma experience, but that was a dramatic change for you in that you surrendered.
It was. And I mean, there were definitely points in my life before that where I would pray the same kind of I surrender prayer. But like you said, at that point in your life where you can literally do nothing for myself, I could have done nothing. That people are praying for me, that there's a prayer chain internationally, people in Europe who are praying for me, people in Jamaica I was supposed to be with, people all over the country in every state, people here in Texas who are praying for me, and that's why the Lord healed me. The Lord heard their prayers. While I could do nothing for myself, people interceded to the Father for me. This is the role that Moses played for the nation of Israel. In like Exodus 33, we see that Moses is praying, Lord, I don't want to go anymore. I don't want to do anything else if your presence does not go before me. I don't want to do anything. And the Lord basically said, you're the intercessor for this nation. If you come, I will lead them through you. It's the same kind of thing. So absolute miracle that Lord did in my life. And here we are today with a couple things.
Yeah.
A couple things to say.
Yeah. So how do you get there from the coma and the time in the hospital, miracle healing, and then you come out with a book, America Don't Give Up. What's that journey?
Right.
How did you get there?
I would say, honestly, I accidentally did it all. I accidentally got into this whole thing. If I had it my way, I probably would have gone into business, made some money, and then got into politics later in life, probably, if I had it my way. But the Lord obviously had other plans, and he showed me that through this hospital story that obviously my life is not in my hands. It's in the hand of the Sovereign Father. So I got out of the hospital on Friday, and my last semester of high school started on Monday. And in that last semester of high school, at my school, every student had to write a thesis project. So for a high schooler, a 17, 18-year-old in high school, 20 pages is like the end of the world. And give a 30-minute presentation, here we are talking for an hour. But I had to write the 20 pages, and a month into the class, I had nothing done. My teacher's obviously gracious with me after everything I had been through. Everyone else had 8 or 10 pages done. They were halfway done. I didn't have a thesis statement. So I was like, I got to choose a topic that's easier. So I chose freedom of speech, not knowing really how much there was to freedom of speech. So the next 6 weeks, I didn't write 20 pages. My teacher hated me because I wrote 70. It was still, at that point, no desire to write a book. It was not a book. I didn't go into it writing a book. But I'll tell you what sparked that is I couldn't drive for 4 months. So like a senior in high school, end of the freaking world.
Now,
I don't have any independence.
You couldn't drive because the doctor wouldn't let you, or you didn't feel up to it?
The doctor wouldn't let me.
Yeah, okay. Because you were, I'm sure you were fully capable.
Oh, I wanted to, of course. So my mom had picked me up from school that day, and I was just reading to her like what I wrote in class because I needed some feedback. I was just down on myself, and your mom's going to tell you you're a freaking genius. And it was great. And she said, after I finished reading, she said, I can see some books in your future. At that point, it's kind of like a light bulb. I'm like, wait. Most people would probably take this as if I want to write a book before I die. I want to write a book before I turn 40. I'm a little bit crazy. So I said, I'm 17. I've got about 2 months before I turn 18. And this is my new goal. I want to become an author before an adult. I want to publish my first book before I become a legal adult. So I did that over the next 2 months. I put it all together. I didn't have a single author on my phone. I didn't know a single Charlie Kirk or anyone in national politics.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm just going to do it. So I figured out how to do it and published my book the day before my 18th birthday on June 29th in 2023. Like I said, it did pretty well.
Yeah, you get the president. So I mean, my first book, Donald Trump actually wrote a letter. He saw it, but he wasn't President Trump then. He was just the real estate guy.
Right.
He wrote me a letter. He'd published by the same author. All right, so that is an amazing story, and it's led to a podcast. It's led to you being a leader in your generation and people looking up and respecting, and an influencer is the proper term, I believe, today. It's kind of an amazing history how you've done all that.
Right. I mean, I can't take any credit for it. I wish I could. I wish I could say, I want to do this, I want to do this with my life, and I planned all of this. I didn't plan any of this because my whole life, the thing I hated doing most, you know what it was? what I'm doing right now, talking, whether it's to one person or it's to a whole radio show or it's to the biggest show in the freaking world on Fox and Friends in the morning, because that was my first ever media appearance. A week before the book came out, didn't have any social media, was not an influencer or anything, had no aspirations for that. And I got a message on LinkedIn from a Fox producer saying, would you come on tomorrow morning and talk about a thing called Gen Z? I didn't know what that was then. I obviously said yes, because I was like, Lord, this is obviously an opportunity that you brought to me. This is not something I desired or wanted or anything or pursued. And it was after that that the Lord had like an epiphany moment with me and said, this is your lifetime mission to be a voice for the generation.
Wow. And Gen Z, that's it. I mean, who knows? I can't keep track of all this. Gen Z is from this period to this period. Baby boomers is
2012.
All right, baby boomers like 46 to 64, and then Gen X, and then it all these generations. But there really are differences, and we're going to talk about that. We've got Christian Hodges. He is an influencer. He's a Gen Z member, but he's a committed Christian, and he cares about America. He loves it. We've got a whole lot to cover, and we'll do so right after this break. We'll be right back.
Every day across the globe, big business agendas go unseen by investors. Things that go against your core values and beliefs. It's time to know your investments. Abortion. Alternative lifestyles. Gender and identity confusion. If you believe in protecting marriage and life, children, innocence, guarding masculinity, restoring families, defending religious liberty. Invest with your values. Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and I'm joined by Christian Hodges. He's an author. He's an influencer. He is explaining to us what Gen Z is and how it works. You know, it's the challenge that we face. How do we pass our liberty, security, and values to the next generation? Ronald Reagan said, you know, every generation must face an existential crisis to liberty, to freedom. And we've got to nurture it and pass it on. That's what he said. But a lot of times we buy things from companies that don't care if they destroy our values. And in fact, they use the destruction of our values to entice us to buy their things. There's a difference. And what you do with your money makes a difference. There are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, spend it, or invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, it's a mobile phone company, supports our Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the economic war room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. Now, Christian, we're talking about preserving the values. You obviously were raised with Christian and pro-America values. You love the Constitution. You love freedom of speech. You made that your thesis. What I want to do is dig into what your generation, Gen Z, thinks about those values and how, whether or not they're pro-America or they think America should go away.
Right. I think we only have one choice, is to be a pro-America. And what we're seeing is on college campuses, they're going conservative. You can make the argument that Gen Z is literally the reason why Donald Trump is sitting in the Oval Office. In Michigan alone, Donald Trump won young people by 13 points.
I don't think that's points. A message people are getting out. That's a message Charlie Kirk carried
before
he was shot.
Charlie famously said, he said, the reason why these college campuses are so scared of me coming to them is that I can undo 3 years of indoctrination in 3 hours of their time. By coming here and not even, it's not like Charlie went up to the mic and he said, you're stupid. You believe in communism. You believe in socialism. You're voting people like Zohran Mamdani into office. No, he took a mic and he said, here's your mic and ask me a question. And then what did he do? He didn't still call him stupid. He said, well, here's what's actually true. And then he caught them in their stupidity and made them realize it. That's the thing he did most. He made them think and caught them in their lies. And they had no choice. They were either quiet or they admitted they were wrong. And then their beliefs changed after that.
You know, Glenn Beck has made an AI version of George Washington so you can talk and ask him questions. We have so much content from Charlie Kirk from all those campus tours that an AI version, you could, I doubt that there's a question he has not been asked. And I think we could do that. But his voice isn't silenced, not because it continues in video, but it also continues through you and through other people of your generation that have learned from him and are carrying the message out. You know, what are your memories of Charlie?
Right. I remember one thing vividly. His last America Fest, which was 2024, I was backstage with Dr. Carson. Charlie was the first speaker, then it was Ben Shapiro, and then it was Doc. And I was back there with him, and I walked back. I was just giving Doc a cup of water or a coffee or something before he spoke. I'll always remember Charlie just running around like a chicken with his head cut off. He didn't even have his shoes on yet. He was on stage about 3.5 minutes. But he still made time for Erica right before he went on stage. Most people don't know that Charlie was super involved in behind the scenes and everything. He wanted everything to be perfect, but he made sure it was perfect himself. He didn't just delegate to someone else, but he wasn't controlling as well. He was always involved. And just seeing that firsthand and seeing how he made time for his wife in the thick of all of that, most guys would just like push him off and say, honey, I've got to get this done. This is work. This is business. And it wasn't Charlie.
Yeah, no, I was with Charlie when he was much younger, when he was first starting out. He was younger than you are now. He's 17, and he got his first donation from a dear friend of mine. I was with him when he
spoke. My Delaware buddy.
Yeah, he spoke at Convocation, and I was a co-speaker. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of hidden on there, but I did. You can go look it up. I the same weekend that they introduced the Falkirk Center, it was Kevin Freeman and Robert Epstein, so mm-hmm. I was there with him. And then I was with him backstage that last America Fest. He invited Marnie and me, sent Mikey to find us mm-hmm. and take us backstage. And he's just he watching his grow, but he was the same all the way through. His presentation changed, but his attitude was the same.
I think the number one thing that changed is that Charlie, when he got started, he was so focused on the red hat. And towards the end of the last few years, you know what he did? He focused on the red letters.
Oh, wow, that's powerful. All right, we're talking with Christian Hodges. We'll be right back. I want to talk with you, Christian, about your faith and how it impacts you. We'll be right back right after this break.
Gold holds its value far better than the US dollar. Let's see what happens when I go in this sweet shop and pay with gold.
Can I pay with gold?
Find out how much it costs.
Do you know why I'm even using gold?
I do not.
It holds its value over time.
Yeah.
But it's a bit difficult to spend, isn't it? Do you take this?
Yes.
That's MasterCard. Yeah, but this is, I'm actually going to pay with gold, believe it or not, using
really?
This. Using this. That's my MasterCard and it's linked to my gold wallet. So let's just watch that. Authorizing. Yeah, add a tip.
Thank you.
So this is your store?
Yes, sir.
And how much gold did I pay?
0.2243 grams.
Yeah, success. Bought with gold, paid with glint.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, we're right in the middle of a fight here in Texas. There is on the Texas ballot on March 3rd, there's a proposition. It's Proposition 10. It's whether or not Texas should prohibit Sharia. That is an all-encompassing, it's not a faith, it's an all-encompassing ideology of submission. Islam means submission, and we're watching the Islamification attempt here in Texas, as we've seen in Dearborn, Michigan. We've seen it in other parts of the country, and we've seen it submission in Zoram Mamdani in New York, and we see it in the UK. And I've had some guests here from the UK, and that is it's a challenge because Sharia is antithetical to our faith. It's antithetical because women are not deemed equal to men. It's antithetical because you have to submit and you have to cover yourself this way and you have to eat this food. And if you try and leave Islam, Sharia says you ought to be killed. It's called apostasy. And they want 11 nations on earth believe in that. But you have a faith that's about liberty. You have a faith that's about believing in God as a conscious choice and not a forced submission. Describe your faith.
Right. Our faith is built on what he's done for us. Our faith says that there's freedom in him. John 8:32 says that we have freedom. And we also see that the difference between Islam and Christianity is that Islam and these other faiths always say that we have to work to get this, we have to work to get here, we have to work to get this. Christianity is the only religion that's built on grace. I don't think most people realize that, that grace is the gift of freedom. That's what separates us. And you can also say in the Quran, there's things that are true. There's things in Mormonism that are true. I was talking with Dr. Frank Turek a week or two ago. He said the difference between Christianity and things that are true is that when you talk about other religions, does it say that other religions are completely false? It says that every way that another religion contradicts Christianity, that those religions are false. That it says that Muhammad is the Son of God. That is false. We see that Jesus is the Son of God. We see how he was baptized. We see the whole Trinity in John, how he was baptized, the dove descends. We see every part that they contradict Christianity is false. But we also see young people especially are going Mormon. They're going Islam. But we don't understand that in America. I don't think Christians are equipped apologetically to actually defend that. And I think we need more teachers like Dr. Frank Turek to teach young people, young Christians, because we see that even Christians who are raised in church, who go to youth group, who go to church on Sunday, even go to church twice a week, Wednesday nights, that 7 out of 10 of them fall away from Christianity once they go to college. I think the number one reason for that, you can say it's a shallow faith, that their faith wasn't rooted well, but it's the fact that they can't answer the why questions of their faith. And that is the essence of apologetics. That's why Paul was here. Paul says, I am put here for the defense of my faith. He says in 1 Peter 3:15, we should always be prepared to have a reason for our faith, to answer with gentleness, to answer with humility, that young people need that depth of understanding the why so that we can go out and defend our faith in public, whether it's on a radio show or it's actually a conversation with your college roommate who's a Muslim, that we should have the why to get there.
Yeah, and you're studying at Liberty University, which is does a great job of explaining the why and has a great apologetics. My daughter actually graduated right from an apologetic degree there. And that's important because we can't just say, believe it because I told you so, or believe it because it's in the Bible. We actually have to have that personal relationship, and then we have to have that willingness to let the Holy Spirit lead and speak to us and through us to accomplish his purpose.
Right. I mean, that's the essence of Christianity, is that we're here and we believe in God because he sent his son. He wrote the whole story. He wrote his whole love letter to us in Scripture. We see that in the Gospels. And he came, he did what no man has ever done before. Muhammad didn't do it. Muhammad didn't rise from the dead. So if you want to talk apologetically, if you want to prove Christianity, if you want to say that Christianity is true and Islam is not, prove the resurrection, and you can. So, but as a Christian, think to yourself, ask yourself, can I prove the resurrection? Can I deny the theories that say that Jesus was just stolen by the apostles? Can I deny the theories of all of these people making assumptions in the early days? Can I deny all of these things to another faith today? Can I prove the resurrection? If you can't answer that question, say you can prove the resurrection.
You can.
You should go study more yourself to be more well-equipped to face anyone in the public square.
You're so right, Christian. In fact, Islam claims that Jesus did not die and rise from the dead, but that is central to the Christian faith. That resurrection story is the truth of the gospel, and it is the essential part of what we must believe to be Christian. We'll be right back.
Oh, hi, I'm Kevin Sorbo. And I'm here to tell you about coffee. Well, not really, but I'm going to use coffee to illustrate my point. Here we have several different coffees, each with its own unique characteristics. First, we have instant coffee. This coffee pretends to be coffee, but it's not really coffee at all. It's a fraud. Plus, it tastes terrible. I'm out. Next, we have woke coffee. Their coffee actually tastes pretty good. Until you find out that when you drink it, you have to admit that you've oppressed other coffees in the past. Insanity, I'm out. Next, we have Big Tech Coffee. Now, these guys used to encourage folks to share with others what they thought about their coffee. But now, if you say you don't like Big Tech Coffee, they'll take away your coffee pot. I'm out. This brings us to Patriot Mobile Coffee, right? This is one big cup of truth and freedom. There's no fraud here. Patriot Mobile is America's real Christian conservative wireless provider. Patriot Mobile gives back millions of dollars every year to organizations that are on the front lines fighting for our freedoms. Patriot Mobile offers the best nationwide 4G and 5G coverage on the same networks as the other major carriers. So you'll get the same great coverage, along with 100% U.S.-based customer support, while knowing you are supporting a company that shares your conservative values. Switch to Patriot Mobile today by visiting patriotmobile.com or call 972-PATRIOT.
Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
All right, we're talking money solutions on Pirate Money Radio. We talk about that all the time. We have Christian Hodges, who is a brilliant young man who comes from Gen Z, who's written a book before he became an adult, who has his own podcast, who's hung out with presidents and Dr. Ben Carson's a great mutual friend, worked for him for a while. He's got a lot to share. He's connected to Liberty University, and he really, really has a great future and a great voice. I want to talk with you, Christian, a little bit about money, because the Bible says, Luke 16:11, if you're not faithful with your unrighteous mammon, you will not be trusted with true riches. That was Jesus speaking and saying, essentially, no one will trust you with true riches. True riches are liberty, security, values, family, eternity with Christ. Those are true riches, the things that really matter. Money is a tool. It's something we should use. It is defined as a unit of account, a store of value, and a means of exchange. That's how the Federal Reserve would say money is. But what do young people think about money?
I think there's a misconception among a lot of young Christians especially is that money's evil. They misinterpret the verse that says money is a root of all evil, as is greed, as is lust. All of these things are roots of evil. They misinterpret that verse in the church.
And it's the love of money. It doesn't say money itself.
Right. I agree. I was reading Proverbs 16 this morning. It said that better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of the wicked. It's better to have little and be righteous than to have a lot and have, let's just take Elon. If you had everything Elon had and yet you still don't believe in Christ, you still have nothing. But there's, I don't know if
and
you know.
By the way, that is Elon. He says, I'm a cultural Christian, and he wants Christianity to dominate the culture because it's
there.
Better.
We need to keep praying for
it. But he hasn't acknowledged Christ that I'm aware of.
Right. No, I agree. I don't know if you know who Riley Meek is, if you're familiar with his work.
No.
Charlie was bringing him into the fold in the last year or two of his life, but he runs what's called King's Council. And he kind of changed my perspective a little bit learning from him. He gave the story of the town is Eden Prairie, Minnesota. In like 2003, it was the number one town rated by TripAdvisor, all of those places, like the small town to move to in the country. Eden Prairie, Minnesota.
Eden Prairie. Okay.
So in 2003,
I get Eden and I get Prairie and I get Minnesota. Okay.
Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Number one in 2003. Flash forward to 20 years later in 2023. You know what it is? It's 60% Muslim. It's the first town in the whole country to have an all-Muslim town council. This is where they banned the pride flag. You've probably seen these stories in the news. It's called Eden Prairie, Minnesota. So how did that happen? In 2003, the number one town, and in 2023, majority Muslim. In 2003, the Muslim population was about 6% or less. It was a vast minority. Right. But what they did is they used their money very well. In the Muslim faith, a $1 bill transfers between other Muslims, does not leave the Muslim faith 13 times. Before it enters another faith. In Judaism, it's similar. It's 12 times. It transfers between other Jews 12 times. But in Christianity, you know what that is? 2 times.
Wow.
So you see how Christians are not giving their money to other Christians. Because for one, they're afraid to make money and to be entrepreneurs, actually make money and use it well, but they're afraid to give it to other companies,
so
like
not
a Patriot Mobile or a Glint, these other Christian companies. But think about what that does for missions. Christians are not funding Christian missions.
Right.
Who's funding it? If you want the actual gospel that's pure and unfiltered to go to the 1020 zone on the mission field, or you want it to go to the back streets of Baltimore, who do you want to be funding that? You want the people who believe in it, who have been saved by it, not other faiths.
That is being faithful with your unrighteous mammon. You can give it, you can spend it, or you can invest it. Those are the three things that you can do with your money. But here's the problem, too, is you're running uphill because we have fiat currency, not backed by anything. So if you took a dollar in the year 2020, six years ago now, you took a dollar, it's probably worth less than 75 cents in purchasing power. And it loses, if you go back 100 years, it's lost 95% of its purchasing power. If you go back to 1971, when Nixon took us off the gold standard, it has lost 80% of its purchasing power. Mm-hmm. So when I was a kid, a Hershey bar was a dime. Now, at the dollar store, it's a buck and a half. At the dollar store, I mean, nothing's supposed to be over a dollar. A Hershey bar is a dollar and a half. And it's true for everything that we're facing. How do young people feel about the fact that they can't get ahead because they start to save money and the money's worth less and less and less from inflation? What are people feeling?
Young people just feel pushed out of the future, that we are the future, but we're not going to be able to have a future ourselves, that our bodies are going to be here, but our wallets aren't. We look at the average age of the first-time home buyer. It is now 40 years old.
That's unbelievable.
I don't know when you bought your first house, but I'm sure it wasn't 40.
Nope.
It was not 40. It was probably almost halfway there. But young people feel as though they're just being pushed out of the future. They're not going to be able to have a home. We're not going to be able to have a family. We're not going to be able to have children because we can't afford it. But these are the things that young people are desiring. 93% of young people actually want to get married. 93%. But how many of them are actually going to be able to do it financially? You think about all the jobs that AI is going to take. How many people are being pushed out of a career?
Wow. And because of that, this is my next book, The Four Horsemen of the American Apocalypse and Our Six Trials by Fire. And no, the Four Horsemen are not straight from the Revelation. These are the ones unique to America. So I'm not making a biblical statement there. But we're facing serious trials. And the Six Trials by Fire, one of those is demographics. 100 years ago, the average age of a woman getting married is your age. And she would have a baby in 9 months, which is an interesting number, right? So the wedding night, 9 months later, there's a baby. That's the average. Now, today, the average woman getting married is 29.6 years of age, and she'll wait 3.3 years to have a baby. Why? I can't afford it. We got to put it off. I don't have a house yet. So that means she's 33 years old before she has her first child. How many kids can you have if you start at age 33? If you start at 20, you can have six, and that was the average birth rate was 6.0 for a woman 120 years ago. Today, the average birth rate is 1.6. We're not even replacing ourselves.
Right. This is the original topic I actually chose when I was telling you the story of changing the topic to freedom of speech. I originally chose declining birth rates because look at the replacement rate in 1960, not even 100 years ago. We're talking 60 years ago, it was what, 2.6? And now we're at what 1.4, 1.6?
Yeah, 1.6, I 1.6. Think. It may be less than that.
Right, so we're barely replacing ourselves. There's an argument to be made. I heard Seth Gruber say this not too long ago. He said, there's an argument to be made biblically that if you're only having two children, you're not being fruitful and multiplying. You're only replacing yourselves.
Yep.
You're only replacing yourselves if you're having two children.
You have to multiply.
Three or more, four or more.
Well, we had Nisar on last week, and Nisar from the UK, he has six kids. So, you know, my sister had six kids. But here's the problem. People don't feel like they can afford to have kids. Why? Because the money keeps losing value due to inflation. The Federal Reserve says we're going to make sure that there's at least 2% inflation every year. And of course, it's been much, much higher than that. And so how do you be faithful with your unrighteous mammon? Well, support for this program comes from Glint. It's a financial technology service offering a debit card and mobile app that enables users to access their gold holdings for everyday purchases. With Glint, users maintain ownership of allocated physical gold, which is stored in a managed vault. In the Bible, gold and silver and copper are money. At the time of a transaction, gold is sold in real time to cover a purchase amount in local currency. Glenn offers an alternative way to store and use the value, combining gold and silver with modern payment infrastructure. Glint clients can monitor their gold balance, view transaction history, and manage their account through the Glint app available on major mobile platforms. More details about how vaulted physical gold can be used as money are available at glintpay.com/gold247. That's glintpay.com/gold247. Glint providing access to gold for modern spending. That's something that I think young people can embrace. They realize, hey, actually, I bought gold at $2,000 an ounce, and now it's $5,000 an ounce, and I can spend it. There's no friction. You don't have to go store a gold bar at your house, but you can actually have gold and silver as your money instead of just paper dollars.
Right. I don't think enough young people know about Glint, but I think this is something that would actually quell their concerns, because if a young person has $1,000 in an account in the bank and they were to leave it there for a year or 2 years even, how much is it going to be worth? It doesn't matter the exact number. It's going to be worth, the spending power of it will be less than $1,000. If you had that same $1,000 in gold, how much is that going to be worth in a year or two if you left in the same account, same place? It's going to be worth more. The spending power is going to be worth more than in the original $1,000. That's what young people need to understand. There actually is an option out there. There is something that we can do to have a better down payment on a home, to have a better down payment on a car, to actually be able to afford having a family like we all want.
Well, I'm going to give you a copy of my book, Pirate Money, which makes this exact case so that you can take it and share it with your generation. Let them know there is a future and a hope. And we have, it's Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution makes it possible to do this. In Article 1, Section 10, it says states may make nothing other than gold and silver legal tender. And we've convinced five states so far. First, Governor Sarah Sanders signed it into law in Arkansas. Second, it was signed into law by Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida. Third, Governor Jeff Landry in Louisiana. Fourth, Governor Greg Abbott in Texas. Fifth, Governor Mike Kehoe in Missouri. Those five states represent $5.3 trillion of economic activity, real, genuine economic hope and economic justice for Gen Z and every generation. All right, we'll be talking more with Christian Hodges when we come back right after this break. We'll be right back.
I'm outside Babe's, which I'm told is the quintessential chicken restaurant here in Roanoke, Texas. Let's go and see if we can buy the food in here, chicken with gold.
This is gonna be the fried chicken.
This is unbelievable. How am I gonna fill this in? I seriously actually don't know how to begin with this. This is so overwhelming.
Do you think I can pay with gold?
I don't know, you may have to ask the cashier, I don't handle it.
Can I pay with gold? But actually, you said I could pay with this? Okay, I'm gonna pay with this, but I'm gonna pay with gold. So look at the price of gold going up. That's pretty cool, yeah? Right, this is Babe's, yeah?
Yeah.
How much gold did I pay, gold? How many grams?
0.26,
quarter of a gram of gold. How about that?
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty
cool, yeah. Success! Bought with gold, paid with Glint.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And I'm joined by Christian Hodges, who truly is a voice for his generation, written a book, come out of a miracle story, out of a coma. God called you and has thrust you into the limelight in so many ways. So you were on Fox and Friends, and you've written a book, and you've got podcasts, and you're talking deals. You know, everybody wants to know your voice. What are you thinking, and how can you help communicate? And I want to ask you this question. Why did Zoran Mandani get elected by young people in New York? I mean, you made it clear President Trump was elected by young people across the country. But in New York, Zoran Mandani, he's a globalist. George Soros, Alex Soros is his good buddy, George Soros' son. He's a globalist World Economic Forum type. He is also a communist. I'm going to use the term. He says socialist, but he talks about taking private property from people and you have to pay more if you're white and all these things. These are communist, Marxist principles. critical theory principles. And he's an Islamist. He believes in the, he's a Twelver from Iranian background. He believes that the Grand Mahdi is going to emerge from the, at the end of time. And it's the exact opposite of Christianity. He said, Islam must rule the world. And when they do, then the judgment will come. Well, my Bible says that there will be an Antichrist that rules the world and judgment comes. My Bible says that people that get beheaded go straight to heaven and are a crowd of witnesses and a great throng worshiping God Almighty, worshiping Jesus. But in Islam, they're infidels, they're apostates, and they need to be killed. So I see both of them might be true in a sense, and that Islam might be true that they rule at the end of the earth. I hope not. I don't know, but I know an Antichrist will. I think it's an Antichrist spirit. But they elected a guy that believes that, believes in communism, and hangs out with Alex Soros. Why?
The sad reality of it is that young people have not gotten to the point in their lives where they value results over promises. Because, I mean, what does Zohar and Mamdani get up there and say? You get this for free, you get this for free, government's going to give you this, government's going to give you that. And young women especially, they hear that and they say, the government's going to be my daddy? Absolutely, I'm going to vote for this guy. It was over 60 or 70% of young women in New York under 30 who voted this guy into office. I think the number of the young men was is hovering around 50%. So there's still a big problem there with the young men as well. But the young women are about to find out, like you said, with a Muslim leader coming into office and the Sharia law that he's going to implement, the Sharia law that his faith tells him to implement as a leader, is something that most people don't realize about Muslims. In last week, Nisar made the point that all these young women want the Eastern men. But what those women don't realize is that in Islam, obviously they view Muhammad as the perfect role model. It's their Jesus, right? But you know what, who Muhammad also was? He was a pedophile. He consummated marriage with a nine-year-old. This is in the early texts of the Quran and the early Muslim texts. And you can read this. You can read this yourself. They don't realize that this is the kind of leader that Zohran Mamdani sees a pedophile as the perfect role model for his life. This is what that Muslims are taught.
So you can have multiple wives,
right?
So that you can treat women as property. So if your woman is not submitting to you the way that you want her to, sexually or otherwise, that you can beat her. Hey, you need to do it a little bit gently, but you can beat her. That if she doesn't dress properly and goes out of the house without a male escort, that she is like enticing and tempting to rape. I mean, how can young women in New York think any of that's acceptable?
Because they see Islam as just some peaceful religion that's here, and that's something new, that America is just some Christian nation, some white American nation, that we need something new, we need to progress as a society.
Get past the patriarchy, and yet they're instituting the worst patriarchy ever.
They don't understand. That's my point, is that the promises that Zohran Mamdani made are soon to fade, and they're about to experience the results. And I do believe it's a good thing for young people, for my generation as a whole, to see New York burn to pieces, to see them burn to pieces, because young people will not learn a lesson until either, because they're not learning from Cuba, they're not learning from Venezuela, they're not learning from these communist countries, so they're at the point where young people need to fail themselves, and New York is the first to bite.
Well, they haven't seen the failure in Minneapolis, where they're turning on decency and law enforcement and, you know, making them the enemy, not the... This is a really crazy world that we're in, and we're fighting that fight here in Texas. By the way, the Texas Stock Exchange is being raised up, because if the New York Stock Exchange goes down in Texas, we're going to have our own stock exchange. We're trying to lead on the money issue. We're trying to lead on the Sharia issue with the Prop 10 that's coming up in March 3rd. Vote yes to prohibit Sharia law here in Texas. All right, we've got so much more to cover, and we've only got a little bit of time left to do it. We'll be right back with Christian Hodges after this break.
Washington said paper money opens the door to every species of fraud and injustice. Jefferson said paper is poverty. Hamilton said to emit an unfunded paper as the sign of value ought not to continue a formal part of the Constitution. The founders hated paper money, so they put a pirate money clause in the Constitution for our state to use. Learn more at transactionalgold.com.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and I'm joined by America Don't Give Up author, Christian Hodges. And the reason I say America Don't Give Up, because now is not the time to give up. He's got a whole generation, Gen Z, that is listening to him. He's an influencer. He's making a difference. Even the president has listened to him. And he worked with Dr. Ben Carson. He's just got an incredible background and resume, coming literally from the dead, from a coma, and coming out of it. And the Holy Spirit got a hold of him and is doing things, amazing things through him. But we face some real threats. Christian, what do you think the biggest threats are to America and the future of Gen Z?
I think it's the generational suicide that we're committing. And that's a harsh way to say it, but we already talked about the birth rate. We're not replacing ourselves. So if we're not going to have kids, who's going to come after us? Who's going to take the jobs? Who's going to further America? So right now we're at the choice where we're either going to get married, we're going to have kids in that order, exactly, that we're going to do that, and we're going to extend America for another generation, do our part or not. And secondly, you see what's going on in the LGBTQ, ABCDEFG plus community, in that they're committing generational suicide as well. For one, they're cutting off their genitals. They're marrying the same sex, which they can't reproduce with. They're doing something that ends their fertility. It goes back to the birth replacement, but we're also choosing people like Zohran Mamdani, who will burn us to hell.
You know, and I what you just said, when we do that, if we don't have enough people, we import them. And it's the hijra to the Islam, to Muslims, that they will move in and take over communities that way. But all of those things began when we left the gold standard. And I'll tell you, the six trials by fire in my new book, number one is the national debt, and we're saddling you with massive national debt. People don't realize $40 trillion, how much that is. The total of all credit card debt hit an absolute high record, and that's $1.28 trillion. And the federal government owes $40 trillion. That's a lot of money. That debt has created an attack on our dollar. The BRICS nations are trying to dethrone the dollar as the reserve currency of the world. That has created the government push for central bank digital currency, which you know how bad that is. And we don't have time to cover it, but that has created a wealth gap. And the wealth gap means no economic justice. If you have a wealth gap, then you have a problem. People feel like, I can't afford to have family, and so that creates a demographic problem, and then that leads to mass immigration, because big corporations, we need more workers, where will we get them? Though, so they get them from non-Christian countries that move here that want to take over our country. All of this is tied together, and all of those are threat. So what do you see the solution is? How do we fix this?
I mean, obviously the solution, you always say politics is downstream of culture. Now we see there's examples where you make an executive order, you pass this piece of legislation, you're changing the culture's opinion by just going and doing it, but it's still not going to solve it. Politics is not going to solve it. We need actual fearless leaders in the church, pastors who are actually shepherding their flock and raising up and discipling young people. We've seen for so long, since the 90s, I would say, that the church has become feminized, that we've pushed men out of the church. But now we're seeing there's a little bit of hope because young men are leading young women and coming back to church, overturning 100 years of trends, but how do we do that? We need to actually get young people mentors. They need a spiritual mentor, a personal mentor. They need a career mentor, a professional mentor. They need mentors to guide them through so they actually know that getting married is a good thing, having kids is a good thing, and these are all noble things that we should be pursuing, and we shouldn't be listening to culture that's lied to us for how long, that's built a generation on these lies that your God's not real, your gender's toxic, that all of these things that we can't even have a society because we can't even address those issues, like you said, the national debt, all of these massive issues that are facing the country as a whole. If we're not here as a generation, if we're the generation that's replaced, not the generation that's fighting, because the Democrat Party has understood this. This is why they hit college campuses and made them leftist indoctrination camps, because they understood that young people are the future. They've also seen the work that Charlie did on campuses where young people are coming back to the conservative side. So what's their play now? Their play is to replace us. I brought this issue up to Tom Homan on my podcast, that they want the legal generation now. They don't want the generation of Gen Z. The Democratic Party wants the illegal generation to vote for them. This is why they're so scared to death of things like the SAVE Act that require ID to vote. They can't lose their voter base of illegals. But if I could add one more thing to the three things I originally mentioned, yep. It's that the poison in our food. They're not only making us stupid, they're not only making us infertile, they're making us unhealthy. They're making us fat, ugly, and lack of energy, just lazy.
This is an important voice. Christian Hodges is a voice of the next generation. We need to support him. How do people follow you?
You can go to christianhodges.org. You can find all of my social media links, podcast, book, everything there.
All right. Pray for America. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. This is Kevin Freeman, joined by my friend Christian Hodges for Pirate Money Radio. Here's a $10 bill. It's got the picture of Alexander Hamilton on the front of it. You know, it's kind of sad. When I was 10 years old, everything that I could buy for a dollar now costs about $10. That's the cost of inflation. It's just paper. It's not backed by anything. You can't exchange it for gold and silver. You used to, but you can't do that anymore. And that's unfortunate. You know, pirates wouldn't accept this. Pirates, they wanted gold and silver. Patriots, the founders of this nation, also wanted gold and silver coin. In fact, they put a provision in the Constitution, 17 words, that said states could only make gold and silver coins tender within the states. That's why I wrote this new book, Pirate Money, Discovering the Founders' Hidden Plan for Economic Justice and Defeating the Great Reset. It will explain exactly the history of money and exactly why gold and silver coins can be made modern with new technology and a useful monetary system. PirateMoneyBook.com.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and this is our bonus segment for AFR. I've got just one question for you, just to wrap up with just a couple minutes. What gives you hope?
What gives me hope is, I would say, the gospel that's transformed my life, but it's also seeing the Holy Spirit work in me. You have like those epiphany as a Christian. You're like doing something, you're saying something to this person, the Lord makes this divine connection. You're like, wait, I know that was just the Lord. I just saw the divine hand of the Father in my life. Those moments are what give me hope to wake up in the morning, to go try to meet this person, go connect with this person. That's what gives me hope, because I see the Lord moving, and I know if he can do that, if he can save all these souls on college campuses, baptize thousands at one college event, what can he do with this generation? That he's setting this generation ablaze for tradition, for Christ, and he's building their new counterculture on the wooden beams of the cross. When have we seen that at the beginning of a generation?
No, it's phenomenal. And I'll tell you, Christian, I've seen you multiple times. I saw you with Dr. Carson. I've seen you at America Fest. I've seen you at various conferences that we've done. But you were there, the dutiful servant, ready to serve and take care of and meet the needs of all the... You have emerged as a voice on your own. And it's a powerful voice. And it's a voice to your generation. And it's a voice of truth. What I love about you is it reminds me of when I met, you know, young Charlie Kirk. And what was 6 years ago when we spoke at Liberty University together at Convocation, there's Charlie. And it's phenomenal. You've got that voice. You've got that anointing. You've got that power. You've got the doors opening for you. You know, Charlie, when he left and went to heaven, he didn't leave behind one person. He left behind thousands, and you are one of the leading voices that have emerged from that incredible movement.
It's an honor to even have my name in the same sentence as Charlie's, the impact that he made on my life. But you made a great point that this is what I was on Chris Cuomo's show the day after Charlie was assassinated, right after Erica's first speech, and he asked me a similar question to that. And my only response to him was preaching the gospel to Chris Cuomo's face live on TV there. But you said, I was telling these liberals, they took the first Charlie and didn't take the last. They just created a whole generation of Charlie Kirks, of Erica Kirks, that actually understand the biblical call that they have to citizenship, to be a good patriot, to understand that we're not here for ourselves, that we're here to build something. That's what Charlie did. He built a legacy that outlives him. That should be the drive for all of us. Literally the morning he was assassinated, I was reading, I believe it was in the Psalms, I was reading, I'm blanking on the verse on the spot, but I remember a prayer I wrote that morning. I said, Lord, I want my life to be not onefold, not twofold, not tenfold. I want the things you've given me, the gifts and talents, I want to steward them to make them a generation fold. So that's my mission.
Well, you know, Elijah... left behind Elisha, who got a double portion of his spirit. You know, may God give you a double portion of the spirit that Charlie Kirk carried. This is incredible. What you're doing is amazing. Where do people follow you?
You go to christianhodges.org. You find Instagram, you find Twitter, you find the podcast, you find the book. You'll find any ways to donate and support right there on christianhodges.org.
All right. If you have questions, prayer needs, or comments, email us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com. Pray for Christian Hodges. Pray for America. Pray for God's principles to be restored. Listen wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, or whatever. This is Kevin Freeman, joined by Christian Hodges for Pirate Money Radio. Arrgh.